Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee, O be.
In 1948, two sisters, Catherine and Margaret Fox, began the modern spiritualistic movement in the United States by using rappings, or knocking, to convince people that they were communicating with the dead. Today, spiritualism is alive and well and thriving around the world, even in some churches. So the question arises, can we actually communicate with the dead? Welcome to the Sunday Sermon on Through the Bible, where our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us to 1 Samuel chapter 28 for the truth of this issue as he answers the question, can the dead speak to the living? I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and I'm glad that you've hopped aboard the Bible bus for this important study in God's Word. Now, we've got just enough time today to share a few letters from fellow passengers. First, we hear from a listener of our Shona language broadcast in Zimbabwe. I've been listening to your programs for a decade now. For years, I tried to convince my family that the doctrines that they were following were wrong, but my attempts were fruitless. Then I prayed and began to invite them to listen to your programs. One by one, my family began to see the truth. Now many of them have accepted Jesus as Lord and have even begun teaching others through what they've learned on your broadcasts. Thank you for your faithfulness in sharing God's Word. Isn't that great? God's Word doesn't return void. Here's another letter. This is from a group of listeners in Vietnam. We praise God for your programs which sustain us. We live a long way from a village and work in the fields. Because of this, we can only make the journey to church on Sundays. Your programs are our daily bread. God uses His Word to encourage, instruct, and sustain us. Please keep broadcasting. God's Word brings us life. God's Word brings us life. Isn't that wonderful? May we all feel the same way today. And then here's a letter that we recently received from a young pastor. Thank you very much. Your help is very important while preaching the gospel. I tell my congregation and friends to listen to you. They become very interested in the Bible. Then they come to me and we share with much excitement what we have learned. As a pastor, Dr. McGee certainly had a heart for pastors, so I'm sure that he would have loved that letter so much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is truth and that the truth of your word can set people free. Use it today to break the chains of bondage of those who are open to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible's Sunday Sermon with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
We are turning to a subject that in many senses is a very difficult subject. Actually, we're intruding into the realm of Satan tonight. And he always gives me a hard time when I take a subject like this. And so this evening, I'm turning to the 28th chapter of 1 Samuel. This is a chapter with which most of you are familiar. And yet tonight I want to read a great deal of it in your hearing. Ordinarily on Sunday night, my scripture is very brief. But tonight it's essential that we read this particular section. I begin at verse 6, and will you notice the language here, for that's important. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And Urim meant through the priesthood, through the tabernacle. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And the Hebrew word for inquire means to inquire diligently. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Where is Endor? I'm not sure myself. Endor can mean ventriloquist. And this old witch was a ventriloquist. Now will you notice? And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Now that word gods is Elohim, plural. What she really means is this, I have seen supernatural creatures. That's the thing this woman is saying. I saw supernatural creatures ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I'm so distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shall thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Now I want to break off the reading at that particular point. Our subject this evening is, Can the dead speak to the living? Or did Samuel actually appear to Saul? Now, this is a very weird and uncanny subject, and it moves into the realm of the supernatural. I heard a story several years ago. In fact, my very good friend Homer Rohde, he told me this story years ago, about a funeral they were having in the South. And it was back in the old days when the pallbearers put straps around the casket and let it down in the grave themselves. And there was a ventriloquist attending the funeral, and he thought he'd have some fun. These colored pallbearers were letting it down, and he threw his voice into the casket. And he said, Boys, let me down easy. There was a boy that had been at the funeral, and he was telling a friend of his about it. And he says, You know, boy says, when they were letting that casket down in that grave, the corpse done spoke right out of that casket to the pallbearers and said, Boys, let me down easy. His friend said, Well, did they let him down easy or did they drop him? And this boy says, Well, how was I to know? I have great sympathy for that fella, because I would have been right along with him I would not have stayed to see whether they let him down easy or whether they dropped him. Because, my friend, that's not where you want to get information from. That is not the place that you want somebody to speak. And so it's a very uncanny and weird sort of thing when you begin to talk about, can the dead speak to the living? Now, there is a very dangerous approaches to this subject on the part of Christians. One is to come to it and read it and say, well, I don't believe that sort of thing. Just dismiss it as fraud and say that it's impossible for any sort of traffic in this particular realm. This sort of thing can't happen at all. I do not believe it. There's nothing genuine at all. I remember reading several years ago, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan was giving his experiences after World War I, when so many of the British people had lost sons in the war. And this thing swept over England, and by the way, it has swept over England again. It is more entrenched in America than you dream tonight, this matter of spiritualism. And I have a notion that here in Southern California, there are more people engaged in this than you could possibly believe, and I would not be at all surprised that right here tonight, present here, and listening in, there are many who believe this sort of thing and are wondering tonight just what we're going to say. Now, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, years ago, after World War I, said, when we first heard about it, we began to laugh at it and ridicule it, and we thought by that method we'd rule it out. And he said, I'm confident, having examined some of it, that 99% of it was false and fake. But he said we had trouble with that other 1%. That there was something supernatural. May I say to you that you can dismiss it as fraud. You can laugh at it and ridicule it if you want to. I do not think a Christian should do that. Because tonight there are many people engaged in it. And there are many people believe that it's genuine and real. I have here a clipping from The Guardian. It's one of the publications of the Church of England. And here is what was in there in 1947, December the 24th, after World War II. Listen to this. In spite of the large amount of fraud, fake, deceit, and thought reading, conscious or unconscious, that the investigator of psychic research has to contend with, there remains a nucleus of genuine matter that cannot be explained with our present knowledge except by accepting the hypothesis that human personalities exist through death and that certain persons have the power and gift of contacting them. Churches have nothing to fear from genuine psychic phenomena. May I say that I think that's one of the worst heresies that is set before us there of the present hour. Now that's one danger, though, of trying to laugh at it and ridicule it without realizing that a great many people treat this today as a very serious subject, and they have something on their side. I'll try to explain, I hope tonight, from the Scripture where it originates. That is the second thing that makes this dangerous, and there is the desire of loved ones to want to communicate with their dead, especially if they died suddenly, especially if they were killed in war. And many of you will recall that after World War I, that Sir Oliver Lodge, a brilliant scientist, went in for this and claimed that he talked to his son. Personally, I do not believe it, but he claims that he talked to his son. And he said he applied scientific formula in order to arrive at that. Sir Conan Doyle, who has written so much that has to do with detectives and that sort of thing, he lost a son in World War I, and he too went into this, and when he died, he was a spiritualist. What a dangerous thing it is. Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem about this. Let me give it to you tonight. The road to Endor is easy to tread, for mother or yearning wife. There it is sure we shall meet our dead as they were even in life. Earth has not dreamed of the blessing in store, but desolate hearts on the road to Endor. Whispers shall comfort us out of the dark, hands of God that we knew. Visions and voices, look and heart, shall prove that our tale is true, and that those who have passed to the further shore may be hailed at a price on the road to Endor. Oh, the road to Endor is the oldest road and the craziest road of all. Straight it runs to the witch's abode, as it did in the days of Saul. And nothing has changed of the sorrow in store for such as go down the road to Endor. May I say that that is without doubt one of the most disappointing things that can happen to a person who's lost a loved one to traffic in this sort of thing, and how easily they are deceived. Deceived as this man Saul was deceived. Now, may I say first of all that Scripture condemns this sort of thing as it condemns nothing else. You will find more in the Word of God against this particular sort of thing in such a way that it seems unbelievable. God would forgive the murderer. God would forgive the adulterer. God would forgive the thief, and God would forgive the liar. But God never forgave a person who trafficked in this sort of thing. Death was always the punishment. Now, will you listen? Back in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, God put down in his law certain specific things. Will you listen very carefully? When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. A necromancer was one who had traffic, supposedly, with the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. God says, these nations I'm putting out of the land. And if you want another reason why God put them out of the land, God says these people have trafficked in this sort of business. And because they've trafficked in this sort of business, God says, I'm putting them out of the land. Now, there's something else that we need to recognize, that we are warned that in the last days this thing is to appear again. The Lord Jesus in the Olivet Discourse said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And we are living in a day when men have done practically everything. We've seen miracles of science that have absolutely stupefied us. In the past few years, we've got so now that we believe most anything. If it came over the news tonight that somebody had landed on Mars, we'd believe it. Because we've seen so many things happen in our day. Man not only walks on water today, man flies through the air and he walks under the water today. And he's talking now about going to the moon. And today there are a great many religious leaders that have taken in a lot of gullible people. They've made them believe they have the power of healing and they can work miracles. There are multitudes of people in Southern California that honestly believe there's certain men have that power tonight. God heals, but no man has that power. So, my beloved, when the Antichrist finally appears, what in the world is he going to do that hasn't already been done? There's one field that has not been moved into, and that's the field of the dead. Nobody's been bringing them back recently in any great numbers. That's just one field that men don't delve in today, and that's the field that will be delved in later on. We are told that that is the thing that the spirit world will be engaged in the last days. Paul told a young preacher, Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." We're told in the book of Revelation that unclean spirits coming out of the mouth, these frogs, like frogs, are going to deceive the kings of the earth. And I want to say to you tonight that King Saul was deceived. Now, Scripture condemns this. Scripture says this thing is wrong. Scripture doesn't say that it cannot be genuine. It can be genuine. Now the question arises, did Samuel appear to King Saul yonder in the home of the witch of Endor? There are three explanations that have been offered. The first was that the witch of Endor was a fake. And may I say that I'll agree with that. The Endor can mean ventriloquist. And I think this girl, like a great many others, had a mighty good racket in that day. She had a way of throwing her voice. And if you went to her and said, "My uncle died and he left some money somewhere and we can't find it, and I wonder if we couldn't get him back and tell us where it is." And for a price, why, this gal would, she'd bring him back. And she'd throw a voice over yonder in the corner when the place got dark, and Uncle so-and-so would speak out of the corner. And when you want to hear somebody and want it bad enough, you can hear them, can't you? And so they went away from there, having covered her palm with money. And since it was a capital offense, and King Saul himself at the beginning of his reign had put to death a great many of these. They'd been stoned to death. They'd been executed. God says you'll not permit them which to live. You're to put them out of business. But this thing is something I'll not tolerate my people to engage in at all. Was the witch of Endor a fake? She was a fake. And we'll see in a moment that the one that was the most surprised when there came up, as she called them gods, the supernatural creatures, she was more surprised than anybody else because she'd never seen anything supernatural before. As far as she was concerned, it was all false and fake. And she's absolutely frightened. She's frightened to death here. Have you noticed what she said? "And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." She was absolutely frightened to death, because she did not and had not before seen anything supernatural. The second explanation that's been offered is that God permitted Samuel to come up. That actually the witch had nothing to do with it, and God just permitted Samuel to come up. May I say to you tonight that I do not believe that, nor can I accept that, for several reasons. To begin with, this whole incident is one of deception. Saul himself went there in disguise. He tempted to appear as somebody else. And this witch was a ventriloquist, and she was engaged in that kind of business. And God would never permit one of his saints to be called back to this earth. by a witch or anybody else. It's unbelievable, and it's absolutely unheard of. And there was a rich man that died, and he said, if you could just send this poor man back to talk to my brothers. And Abraham says he can't go back. That's impossible. You can't go back after you passed over through the doorway of death. Scripture teaches that, that there's no way back, my beloved. It's a one-way street you go down when you pass through the doorway of death. When Houdini died, Houdini had been out of every kind of a trap that man had made for him until death knocked at his door and took him out. And he said to his wife, if there's any possibility of getting back, I'll come back and I'll speak to you. And he gave her a code. I understand recently one of these spiritualists has claimed he's broken the code of Houdini. And he might have, but he didn't get it from Houdini. Houdini's escaped when he was here from every other trap, but he won't get out of death, and he won't be coming back. Nobody has ever come back. Nobody's ever brought a word back from the other side. There's a woman, was a woman here in Los Angeles that claimed that she died, and she has come back from the dead. I was very much interested in what she had to say. And the interesting thing is, she had nothing to say that was new. She just said it was nice over there. Well, I already knew that. In fact, I can tell her lots more about that, and I haven't even been over there yet. The Word of God tells us a great deal about it. She didn't tell near as much as the Word of God tells. I don't think she made it over there myself. Up here in Utah, there is a woman that claims that she came back from the dead. But it seems that she can't get anybody that has been a witness to the fact that she died. She seems to have been alive all the time. And may I say to you that nobody has passed through the doorway of death so far and been able to come back with a message. God would not permit Samuel to come back with a message. And then somebody says, can you be sure of that? Yes, I can be sure of that. I can give you scripture tonight to say God would not permit, nor did he permit Samuel to come back. Listen to this, and I'll take it out of the lips of Saul. Verse 6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And then when Saul spoke finally to whatever appeared to him that he thought was Samuel, he said this, verse 15, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets, nor by dreams. Therefore I've called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. May I say to you that this man Saul himself bore testimony to the fact. He says, God no longer speaks to me. Saul is an abandoned man at this time. He's come down to the end of his life, and he knows he's bottled up. He's desperate. He knows that he's passed over the line. He knows that he only has a few hours to live. He knows that he's come to the end of his rebellion against God. And in desperation, God no longer speaks to him. Don't you tell me tonight, my beloved, that a man can't reach a place in his life when God no longer speaks to him. God no longer spoke to Saul. Saul himself bore that testimony. Saul says, God no longer speaks to me. There was a time when his blessed Holy Spirit came upon me as a king, and I could go forth in the power of God's Spirit. But I went on in my rebellion, and I kept going on in it until I've come to a day, and God no longer speaks to me. He's abandoned me. And this man, in desperation, when God would not answer, he turned to the underworld. And he turned to Satan because he's Satan's man. Now the third explanation that's been offered is that a false spirit appeared. Samuel did not appear. And one of the things that God's Word continually says, that these are going to be false spirits deceiving man, and that it's deception all the way through. And may I say to you tonight that I believe with all my heart that that witch, now Saul saw nothing. You read this incident very clearly. Saul did not see Samuel. To begin with, if Saul had seen him, I think he would have seen he was not Samuel. The old witch, who probably had never seen Samuel, she said, he's an old man, that's all I know, and he's got a mantle, and they jumped to the conclusion that he's Samuel. And when they did, he answered as Samuel, because it's the devil, pure and simple, that's moved into the picture. This man has laid himself open for Satan, and Satan has moved in. And may I say that to you tonight? I believe if you give yourself to the devil will move in. I think you can give yourself to the devil as you give yourself to God. I believe tonight you can yield yourself to the devil. Did you know there are organizations in the colleges of California that call themselves disciples of the devil? They worship him. You can give yourself to him. He's a spirit. He's a creature. And he has tremendous power. And you can give yourself to him. And when you give yourself to him, he'll respond as God will respond to anyone who will give themselves to him. And this man, Saul, as we saw this morning, sold out to the devil. He's the devil's man from beginning to end. This man now goes to the underworld, and his father, the devil, answered him. And he saw a spirit, frightened the old witch to death. She'd never seen one before. She says, Mom, what in the world here? I see supernatural creatures coming up out of the ground. I've never seen this before. This is a strange thing to me. And she says, you are King Saul. It had only happened for him. And this old man, that is nothing in the world but deception. May I say the interesting thing is, it wasn't necessary for Samuel to appear. For the very simple reason, Samuel had already pronounced the death, the destruction, the rejection of Saul before he died. And there is nothing new that is added here. This appearance from the underworld. And that's always the interesting thing. They never give you any real information unless it's bad news. I think it's quite evident that Hitler did not invade Great Britain because a spiritualist whom he was following gave him the advice not to invade. Biggest mistake he ever made. It was apparently a spirit. Led man, demon-possessed man, that gave him the advice. And finally it brought him to the place where he's bottled in. And like Saul, he committed suicide. That's the end of those that follow this sort of thing. This man has appealed to the underworld, and the underworld has responded to him. It's a deceiving spirit that's appeared to him. It's not Samuel. God would never permit one of his own to come back from the dead and appear to anyone. Now I want to conclude. Somebody says to me tonight, then I take it, preacher, that you do not believe that the dead can come back to this earth with a message. I want to say something to you now in closing that's rather startling. I believe tonight with all my heart that it is possible for the dead to come back to this earth with a message. And I believe that it's not only possible, but I believe that there's been one who went down through the portals of death and who's come back to this earth with a message, and that he's the only one that's ever been through the portals of death and has come back to this earth with a message. I want you to listen to his message that he gives. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, he saw him. John had been closer to him here on this earth than any other person. John took Jesus and rebuked him on many occasions. He knew him so well that he could go to him and said, "Say, you don't mind if I have the place on the right hand, do you? Put James on the left hand, put me on the right side. I want to be near to you." Yonder in the upper room, he reclined on the bosom of Jesus. He got close to him. This man came to the place when he took a stand for Christ after his death, burial, and resurrection that they exiled him. He was pastor of the church in Ephesus. And they exiled him. He went to the Isle of Patmos, and on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And John says, this man who got so familiar with him, this man who got so close to him, this man who could recline on his bosom, and Peter says, ask him there. He said something about somebody denying him. But John, you're close to him, ask him who it is. You can ask him. This man that got close to him, yonder on the Isle of Patmos, says, I fell at his feet as dead. What a rebuke tonight that to this Jesus stuff that we hear today, this Jesus jive that's being played today, this Jesus business that he's just a sort of a big buddy, and someday we will pat him on the back and say, well, here we are, aren't you glad? My brother, my sister tonight, if he did come into this auditorium, there's not a one of us that would be upright. We'd all be down on our faces before him. John says, I fell at his feet as dead. You don't get familiar with him. And this one reached out his hand and he put it upon John and he said, fear not. I am the first and the last. Listen to him. I am he that liveth and was dead. I was dead, John. I'm back from the dead with a message from you. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of the grave and of death. That's what it means. John, I hold the keys of grave and of the death. And I've come back from the dead. I have a question to ask you tonight. Why do you want to traffic with some old witch, some person that thinks they can give you inside information, that they're in touch with the spirit world? 99% of the chances are that that person's a fraud. There is a 1% chance that that person is genuine. And if that person is genuine, the information comes from hell and not from heaven. For hell is speaking to this earth as well as heaven. And any information coming that route, it looks supernatural, and it may be supernatural, comes from the pits of hell. Why not listen to the man who went down through the doorway of death and came back out of it? He's the only one that's made a two-way thoroughfare of it. And he came back out of it. And he says, I was dead, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of the grave. Why not go to him tonight for your information? Why not turn to him tonight for your salvation? You want any information? Go to him. You want any help? Go to him. You want salvation? Go to him. For he went down through the portal of death for you and for me, and he came out in mighty power for us. Tonight, he's the living Christ. And he's saying to you and me, still saying, don't tamper with that sort of thing. That's of the dead. You'll be deceived. You'll get no true information. You'll get nothing that will help your heart. Come to me. I can give you joy. I can give you peace. I'm speaking from the other side of death. I died, and I'm alive. I know the way. I am the way. I alone can lead you. Nothing in the world tonight but the rebellion that was in the heart of Saul would take a man from Jesus Christ and lead him down through some other deceptive pathway today. He alone can bring you to God tonight. I want to ask you this question. Who is your fortune teller tonight? Who do you go to for help? Who are you looking to? You want a word from the other side of the grave? You can't get it, my beloved, from anybody that went over except one. That's Jesus Christ. Any other word you get may look genuine. I've had people tell me, I know that I was in contact with my loved one. Boy, were you deceived. Were you taken in. Your loved one did not speak to you. You were deceived. Satan's method is that method. Only Jesus Christ is speaking from the other side tonight. And he's saying, come unto me. Come unto me. I'm wondering if you're here tonight. You've ever found the rest that he offers, the peace that he gives, the satisfaction that he offers to those that'll take his salvation. If you're here tonight, there is that desire and urge in your heart. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. And he's the one prompting you, and if he is prompting you, we want to give you an opportunity tonight to express it. And I'm just wondering, you'd like to lift your hand and say as we pray now, preacher, pray for me. I want to know this one tonight. I want to know this one tonight who speaks from the other side of the grave, who's been through the portal of death, who knows the way and who is the way. I want to know him.
Is the Spirit of God speaking to you? If you'd like to respond by receiving the gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, but you'd like more information on what this means, then visit our website at ttb.org and click on the banner that says, How Can I Know God? There you'll find several of Dr. McGee's popular messages that you can listen to or read. Everything is available for free download, so don't wait. Again, just visit us at ttb.org and click on the banner that says, How Can I Know God? Or if you'd like a few of those resources sent in the mail, please call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now as we go, I'd like to invite you to join us for the weekday study of Through the Bible. This week, we'll begin in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and make our way to 2 Samuel chapter 1. To listen online, by app, or see a listing of stations that carry the daily study of Through the Bible, visit us at ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz. For all of us at Through the Bible, we're praying that God fills you with His great grace, mercy, and peace as you walk with Him today.
Jesus made it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.